You hear that? That's opportunity. Better jump on board. Make your business part of Velocity Radio. Get more info at velocityradio.fm.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman. We're two periodontists in the Denver Aurora area. And tonight, we're looking forward to our special guest, Dr. Brett Levin, one of the finest general dentists in the city. And Kenny, I think it'll be a great show tonight. I also would invite anybody who would like to call in, if they want, on the local number, 303-565-4311. We'd love to take your calls if you have any questions that you'd like to ask Dr. Levin. I'm sure he'd be receptive to answering anything that you have or any questions that you may have in regard to your teeth or your overall dental health. And with that, Kenny, I think it's going to be another great show. I'm really excited to hear what Brett has to say.
I am too, Doug. Brett comes from a family of dentists. His father was a dentist in Denver. I've known his father for a long time. He was a wonderful practitioner. He's since retired. And Brett and his partner have taken over the practice and continued in that fine tradition. So we're going to have a great show. Let me repeat that call-in number for the folks listening. It's 303-565-4311.
Yeah. So let me give you a little bit about Dr. Levin's background. He was on the Dean's List where he went to college, Washington University in St. Louis, home of the Rams, I think. Received his dental degree at one of the best universities and dental schools in the country, the University of Pennsylvania. I happen to know that because I also went there. And he completed a one-year general residency at the VA Affairs Hospital in the center of Philadelphia. And then from there, he also went on, and he is also one of the distinguished faculty members of the COI Center in Seattle, which if you're a dentist, that's a big deal.
That's huge. Coice is one of the most famous dentists in the world.
Yeah.
And we'll have to explore that with Dr. Levin as the show continues.
Absolutely. He's also been nominated by his peers to be one of the top dentists in the 5280 magazine. And he's been selected each and every year that they've had that since 2008. He's also participated, I think, Brett, in the MDDS Board of Directors, which is a nice way of giving back to the dental community.
What is MDDS, Doug?
The Metropolitan Denver Dental Society. Thank you for reminding me. He not only does he commit his time, though, to the dental industry, he also gives back to different charitable organizations. And he and his partner are doing a program where they call Smiles for Life, and that's going to be one of the topics that will definitely touch on throughout the show, because I think it's really special and a really unique thing that they're doing in their practice. So I really do want to spend a little bit of time on that.
I'm excited to hear about that, Doug. I think you and I know, and I think the listening audience can perceive, that you can judge an individual by what's in their heart. And I think you can judge a dentist by what's in their heart. And Brett has a huge heart and he does give back. And I want to hear a lot about that tonight.
Yeah, I think when he told us about the program, I was kind of blown away, and it's something that I think a lot of dentists should emulate. So we'll definitely get into that.
But the best part about Brett is his wife, Joanna, who's just an unbelievably excellent orthodontist, and maybe we can explore that if we have some time.
Yeah, you got to wonder some about that dinner conversation in their house. So I wonder if they get a chance to talk about anything other than teeth. They also have two kids, and I know Brett is very, very active in a lot of their activities, particularly soccer, things like that. So we'll get in exploring some of that with Brett as well.
Well, let's get him going. So, Brett, why don't you tell us first where your practice is located, and tell us a little bit about your practice.
So our practice is located in central Denver, really 5 minutes from, most people know, Cherry Creek. We don't have any parking issues like Cherry Creek seems to have right now. So there's certainly ample parking. We are a comprehensive general and cosmetic dental office. I joke that we have seen patients as young as 2 and as old as 105.
Wow.
And I would say one of the really, really unique things about our practice, I have a partner. Her name is Jennifer Durst. It's a real wonderful relationship we get to have professionally in seeing patients. Is the relationships we get to build with our patients. I think that's one thing that really attracted me to dentistry and attracted me to working with my father. There are numerous families within the practice where we have literally seen 4 generations of that family. To the point where the patriarch of the family never met the great, you know, grandchild or the great, great grandchild of the family. And so it's really wonderful. Far and away, that's our biggest concern. When somebody comes into our office, they have a good experience, because there are a lot of people out there that dentistry is not their favorite pastime. We're not on their speed dial list per se. And, it's really a good day. Certainly when we can fix somebody's tooth problem, if they're in pain, and get them out of pain. But if we can change their perception about a visit to the dentist, that really reverberates throughout their life. And so we strive really hard to do that. Certainly the dentistry has to be good. And as you guys have kind of mentioned, I've done a lot of continuing education to to help that be the case. So I think we have a real synergy of really, really good practitioners and a real amazing dental experience, which not everybody gets to have.
Well, Brett, you know, our listening audience hears us talk about continuing education. And the 3 of us sitting at the table, we know how important that is. And hopefully most dentists really participate in some type of program where they can further their education, because for the people listening, when you graduate from dental school or any professional school, you've learned the basics, and then it's really important to expand upon that. And so being involved in the Coy Center, and at the opening, I mentioned how famous John Coy is, and he's looked up to by everyone within the profession. I'd like to hear a little bit about that. Can you tell us about the center and how you got involved and some of the things that you did in that process?
Yeah, you know, I've really been fortunate to have 2 really profound mentors during my dental career. My father certainly was one of them, and John Coyce was the other one.
And did you forget Kenny and myself?
Well, you get the footnote in the autobiography later.
Okay.
Here.
Just want to make sure.
I emulate a lot of things you try to do, but
then you're in deep trouble.
I think you said it best. When you come out of dental school, you have the very basics, and I was keenly aware that I needed a lot more help on my journey to becoming a good practitioner. And Dr. Coyce, John's philosophy really seemed to mesh very similar to what I kind of stated before, trying to do right by the patient. And the foundation of that is really just being thorough, being comprehensive, taking a real global perspective, not just looking at your tooth, but looking at your overall oral health and looking at your overall body health. And if you can kind of create an environment where you have really great function in your mouth, as well as really great aesthetics, you can create that harmony. But you can't do that if you don't have really a good foundation to build that on. And so it required a lot of trips. The Coy Center is based in Seattle, and so I have made dozens and dozens of trips over to Seattle over the course of my training to kind of gather those skills. There's really 4 main areas that we practice or believe in. We look at, obviously, your teeth. We look at the periodontal status, the health of your gums. We look at the functionality, how your teeth fit together and how that can create problems. And then we look at the aesthetics. And as I said, we try to harmonize all of those things. And once I kind of got through all of those courses, I had an opportunity to really become a mentor out there and help other individuals, other dentists coming through, help digest the just the breadth of information that would be there.
You know, as you mentioned those areas, and you're talking about the four areas, you really need all four together. I mean, the sum is really greater. The whole is greater than the sum of all those parts. Because if you just have one, you kind of set yourself up down the road for trouble maybe later on. So I think it's really critical that people that are doing a lot of dental care make sure that all those type of things are being looked at and that there is synergy between all four. And I think that's awesome. Was Coyce somebody you sought out personally? Did you have a connection to him? Was it? I know he was a University of Pennsylvania graduate. Is that kind of where you heard him, or how'd that kind of come to be?
You know, I think whether you're a dentist or whatever profession you're in, you look to find the leaders of that field. And within continuing education in the dental field, there are a few names that come up over and over again. And, you know, I went and kind of researched those names and listened to those names and heard some kind of, I won't say teaser lectures, but he just resonated with me. That is more how I became affiliated with it. I knew when I heard him speak and the way his approach to dentistry, he likes to say there's no dentistry better than no dentistry. And so the less dentistry we can do, I think the better off patients are. And that's not always the easiest path to take in treatment. But if we can do less and create a better outcome for them, that's good. As you guys know, with gums, so to speak, I've had lots of patients who have come in and seen me and said, I want a better smile. I don't like my teeth. Give me veneers. And sometimes we do veneers, assuming the criteria is met that the function is good, that the periodontal health is good, and that there are no other really inherent risks in a lot of their teeth. But I've also had patients where I've sent them to you and you've been able to do some simple gum work that alleviated a huge expense and created the smile that they wanted. And so you have to know when to treat and when not to treat and when to refer out to specialists with regard to certain treatment.
So you certainly had a mentor in your father. But since you've started practicing dentistry, and as you've learned and you've progressed, I'm sure, just as Doug and I have observed, there have been tremendous changes in our profession. And I wonder if you could share with our listeners some of the changes you've seen in your career to this point.
Well, you know, one question that commonly comes up with patients is x-rays. And they're concerned just through reading and the breadth of information out by the media, I don't want radiation, too much radiation. And digital radiography has really changed the amount of radiation that people are exposed to within the dental practice. And so people often will come and say, I don't want x-rays at all because it's going to give me cancer, this or that, or whatever their reason is. And we certainly want to be sympathetic and respectful to some of their wishes and desires. But we also have a job to do, and we can't do some of that unless we have the diagnostic images. But taking a full set of x-rays in our office, which the first time you come in as a new patient, we do a very thorough and comprehensive exam. We can talk about a little bit what's involved with that later in the show. But the x-rays, we take a number of x-rays. We don't have to take those every time you come in or every year. The 20 x-rays or so we take, they're really equivalent to being in the sun for an hour. And a lot of people are really shocked to hear that. And so that's one area that's kind of changed.
Yeah, they definitely associate the x-ray machines with the big hospital-type x-rays. And it is very, very different, particularly today. So it is something that has changed how we practice. And it gives us the opportunity to see more and be better diagnosticians as well at a much quicker rate.
Two other things I'll kind of mention that we use a lot in our practice. One is an intraoral camera, and basically along with x-rays of your teeth so we can see between the teeth and the roots of the teeth, we take pictures of all your teeth, and we can create a baseline for how things look in your mouth. But you get to see those pictures too, and we can put them on a big screen that you can look at. And so kind of together, the doctor and the patient are getting to see and be involved in some of the diagnostic criteria or why I'm suggesting you need this or this. One of the common dental procedures is a crown. A crown is like a cap. A lot of people call it a cap. It's like a helmet for your tooth. It's a protective structure for your tooth. And if we just put that protective structure over your tooth, it would be too bulky. So oftentimes we have to do some modifications to the tooth, which generally needs it anyway because you have a large filling in the tooth, there's cracks in the tooth, there's things we need to do to protect the tooth. The crown procedure used to be a two-visit procedure, and for a lot of offices, it still is. We have something called a CEREC machine. CEREC machine, for lack of a better word, it's almost like a 3D printer, and we have patients that can come in, and we can modify the tooth. We can take a digital impression. We can scan the tooth. We can mill the restoration, a very highly aesthetic, highly strong material, mill it in the office and place it back in the person's mouth in the same day. It used to be you'd come in, you'd wear it temporary, you'd leave for a week or two, and then come back in. And oftentimes you're at a party or you're somewhere or you're at a business meeting and that temporary would come off. We actually, I will tell you this, we just got a postcard from a patient who broke his tooth, and the next day he was leaving to go to Ireland for a two-week business meeting. We were able to restore his tooth from beginning to end. He left on his trip, and he never had to worry about it again. He was so appreciative that he sent us a little postcard because it made that much of a difference on his trip. And I hope I'm doing a good job of explaining that. But those are some of the big things.
You were one of the early people in the state, I know, to get that machine. I mean, you saw, you know, the advantages of that type of technology early on and made it a significant part of your practice.
You know, because of the nature of our practice, we have, as I know you guys have as well, we have very, loyal isn't the right word, but I'd like to think a lot of our patients really, really love coming to our practice. They think of us more as equals. I don't think of it as a doctor-patient relationship. But as Denver's grown, they have to drive really far to come and see us, and they certainly feel like we're worth the drive, but when we can do the work and do it in one visit instead of two, and they don't have to take additional time off of work and be in the car for extra number of hours and deal with traffic, that's a real big quality of life thing.
That's a huge service, but you glossed over something that I want to come back to because I want the people to hear this. You talked about scanning the tooth, which means you don't put that impression goop into their mouth. You actually do a scan. Tell the listeners a little bit more about that. I think that's just terrific.
So we have a very high-resolution camera, and literally with a little contrast medium that we kind of place on the tooth, it can image three-dimensionally. They are coming out with obviously newer and newer versions of this technology, some of them that can be really live video and to do the same thing. And I'm not sure that that's totally there where I want it yet, but you don't have to sit there and have drool coming down your mouth for 5 minutes, or if the impression isn't good and you have to retake it, and then it's 10 minutes. And so a lot of patients have liked that. There are a lot of people who have a gag reflex, and
that's a significant advantage for those type of patients, because if you've been in the dental business for a while, you have a lot of patients that are serious gaggers, and that's a tough day for them.
Yeah.
So this really makes it simple, and it alleviates all those concerns.
I'll tell you the other thing is that there have been times where if we don't like something, right, and that can happen, we can make a modification right there, change it, remill something, and put it back in instead of having to add more and more time.
So from start to finish, what does that typically take from the point you scan it to the point it's milled?
Well, from the point you scan it to the point it's milled, can be under an hour.
Okay, yeah, that's terrific.
Once we've milled it and verified the fit in your mouth, we'll actually put it in a glazing oven, and we can add some characterization. Teeth are not this monochromatic, like chiclet, right? And so we can give it character and really customize it to a real high level to your mouth. And so that process adds about 30 more minutes, but about an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's really pretty cool.
We love it.
That's great. Yeah. So the other thing you glossed over is something I want to talk about on the other side of the break. I know we're coming up against the commercial here, but that's the fact that people are driving long distances to come see you. So we'll talk a little bit about that and get into some other interesting facts. Again, it's Teeth Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, along with Dr. Ken Versman, and we have Dr. Brett Levin, and we'll see you on the other side.
If you had to go in for surgery, would you want a skilled physician? Of course you would. The legal system is no different, more difficult to navigate than you can ever imagine. And if you find yourself in a courtroom, don't get stuck with a lawyer fresh from law school. You'll want the experience of former deputy district attorneys who know criminal law inside and out. Anderson & Carnahan, a top Colorado Springs law firm specializing in criminal defense. Attorneys with over 50 years of combined experience fighting for their clients in criminal law that will aggressively fight for you in any pending criminal matters, including DUI, traffic offenses, domestic violence, and more. Call today for a free consultation, 855-779-0846. You can also find valuable information online at AndersonCarnahan.com. Discover what you need to know about your DUI case and read helpful attorney tips to save your license, plus other great resources. Get the most experienced legal counsel for your case with Anderson Carnahan. Visit AndersonCarnahan.com to set up your free consultation today or call 855-779-0846.
Parker Trailers, from entry-level trailers to flatbeds, cargo, and horse trailers, plus all your parts and service needs, now with two locations in Parker off Parker Road, and now open at the Pikes Peak International Speedway in Fountain. Visit ParkerTrailers.com for product information and details.
There is no easy way to face criminal charges. The Frankfurt Law Office can help. With over 20 years of collective experience, the Frankfurt Law Office is capable of handling any legal situation. Contact them today for a free confidential consultation at 303-830-0090. That's 303-830-0090. Or visit them at frankfurtlawoffices.com. When the long arm of the law reaches out for you, fight back with the Frankfurt Law Office.
Velocity Radio.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night.
Welcome back to Teeth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, like the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman, Tooth Periodontist, in the Denver Aurora area. And our special guest tonight is Dr. Brett Levin. We were discussing a lot of the new technologies in his practice. And he had talked a little bit, Kenny, about the fact that, you know, as Denver's grown, people are moving to different parts of the city, different outskirts, different towns and things like that. Yet people still come and drive to his practice from all those different areas. And I think that's a real testament to the type of service that you guys provide, because people in today's society have a lot of different choices to do, to see a lot of different things. Some are enticed by coupons on different coupon sites on the internet, and those probably don't work out very well for them in the long run. But the fact that people still come in to see you guys from those distant areas, I think speaks very highly of your practice, and I think that's really nice.
Well, you know, I'm not alone in providing the treatment, and I'm very fortunate that the team that I have around me, from the people who answer the phone to the hygienists who clean teeth to the assistants who help me do the procedures, they're just as responsible for creating that healthy and comfortable environment. I'd like to think that we treat our team members really well. I don't think we have a lot of turnover, and our patients get used to seeing the same faces and become kind of the part of the fabric of their lives to some degree.
Yeah, we all know that certainly the people who work with us in our practices are truly an integral mm-hmm. part of making any practice a mm-hmm. success. But as you talk about your team, Brad, I know that you have a philosophy where you work with specialists and you don't try to do everything yourself. How come?
Well, I think part of being a good dentist, is knowing when to say you can be better served by somebody else doing this procedure. And even as comfortable as patients would be with me, I know that for me to do right by them, certain procedures need to be done by specialists who have advanced training that I don't have. There's a lot of things I do really well, but I also know what my limits are. And working with good specialists like yourselves, really, it just complements my treatment. And there has to be a real good synergy between the specialist and the restorative dentist to really create the results that we're hoping for a lot of times.
So, you know, when I asked you the question, it was really rhetorical because obviously you know how Doug and I feel about it being specialists ourselves. But I think the best way to describe it is we're all part of that team. And what an honor it is to be part of your team.
Thank you.
Because to have an opportunity to work with high-quality dentists is something that every specialist cherishes. And I know those who work with you cherish that opportunity.
And in some respects, it's kind of a misnomer to say general dentist, because really what you've said is, hey, I'm a specialist myself, and you're doing the things that you enjoy and that you've become really great at. And I think that also serves your patients well.
Yeah, the more you know, the more you realize how much you don't know about certain things. And again, it's important to get patients in the hands of people who do know about the things that you don't. And that it does help my outcomes a lot.
Yeah, very much.
I know that you've been involved in the local dental society, which I admire so much. That's just one way I know that you've given back to the community, and in this case, particularly to your profession. Tell us some of your involvement in the Metropolitan Denver Dental Society, because you've had some very, very...
Don't you mean MDDS, Kenny?
That's it. But seriously, you've had some very important positions with tremendous amount of responsibility, and not only would I like to hear it, but I know our listeners would like to hear a little bit about it.
So you've kind of hit upon it. I mean, we're in a unique position as dentists that we can give back, and we will. I hope we get to talk about more about how we give back to the community in that regard. But I also think you can give back to your profession by getting involved with some of the local and national chapters. Is really the wrong word to use, but. But yeah, I was on the board of the Metro Denver Dental Society. It's like a tongue twister sometimes. And that constituency really oversees all of the dentists in Denver. And so it's about 1,100 dentists within the Metro Denver area. And you're kind of responsible for just the some of the political action committee things. And really making sure that you're an advocate for your profession, because there are a lot of entities out there that, although they may seem like they're trying to help, they aren't always kind of helping. Another thing I did actually was I was the chair of the Rocky Mountain Dental Convention. And what that is that's a regional meeting. It happens, an annual meeting that happens every January here in Denver. And it's a 3-day continuing education meeting. The year I was chair, there were about 8,000 participants, which is about fairly normal for each year. That's a normal year.
You know, it used to be one of the top 10 meetings in the country. I haven't seen any statistics on that lately, but I'm assuming it's still pretty close to that.
Well, you know, we bring in over a 3-day period. a lot of really world-renowned lecturers to provide CE. They're CE for the doctors. They're CE for all the other team members. And to some degree, there's some fun events, too. Some lectures that have nothing to do with dentistry, that have to do with personal development and personal growth. And I just really enjoyed being able to give back and help kind of coordinate that event as best I could.
I think that's huge. And I think probably your expertise was really put to good use because of some of the CE, the volumes of CE truly that you have taken and participated in. Certainly must have lent itself to you being able to chair that meeting, which truly is a tremendous challenge.
Even though it happens every year, it's a multi-year process to create that specific meeting, and it starts years before that. And the meeting that was in 2014, it took years before that. And so it kind of, they all build upon each other. But I think that the lecturers that come in, they get to talk amongst one another, and they'll say, we had a good experience at this meeting. We were treated really well. The dentist who hosted us, and it was, they took really good care of us. And I think the overall environment just perpetuates the high caliber of lecturers that come in and speak to our dentists.
Well, I know you talked about giving back to the profession, and you said you'd like to explore how you also give back to the community, which I've just found to be not only awesome, but extremely inspiring. So tell us a little bit about some of the charitable work that you and your office have done in the last few years.
So there's a foundation called Smiles for Life, and we'll discuss that here in just a moment about what we do with regards to that charity. There are some other foundations that people may or may not be aware of. And one that we've been involved with is something called the Stout Street Foundation. And this foundation is actually for patients who have gone through a rough period of addiction and are really trying to build their life back. And what we'll come and do is really do the dentistry, and the dentistry will be donated. And if there is lab work that we can't do a one-visit crown or they need something else, the foundation will help coordinate us working with a lab so that these individuals can really integrate back into society. If they've lost front teeth, that can be a huge disability for these people. And to give them back their life in that regard is one thing we do. The Smiles for Life, what we actually do in our office, the Smiles for Life, we will run a charity event during March, April, May, and June, and we will donate 100% of the proceeds that anybody who comes into our office and bleaches their teeth, it goes to the Smiles for Life Foundation. That foundation splits the money between a local charity and the national charity, and this year, the local charity, or I shouldn't say the charity, but the funds get distributed from the Smiles for Life Foundation through the local Rocky Mountain Active 2030 Club, and that's a women's professional club. They will disseminate that money to really a lot of individuals and a lot of foundations that could use the money. And we'd like it to go toward child-centric and tooth-centric things as much as possible. But so they know that. We used to do some other organizations, but we really found that this organization was really well organized to get the money distributed kind of appropriately and quickly. The Smiles for Life Foundation, or the other half of it, is Smiles for Hope. And for example, half of our office, my partner and half of our team, in August, they're going to go to the Dominican Republic and go on a dental mission to really serve a totally underserved, population. The individuals in this country, they hear about this. This is obviously free trade, and they line up. They travel and really we get them out of pain, we restore it. So a lot of it has to do with giving that back. Last year, we were able to raise about $20,000 to go toward this campaign, and I think it's important for people to understand that we aren't just dentists and we aren't just trying to help our patients, but we're trying to help a much broader dynamic of the population.
But that $20,000 is really the dollar amount.
It's the dollar amount.
You know, when you add up all the charity that you're doing, it ends up being significantly greater. I mean, think of the amount of work you guys do when you're on the mission, and you know, some of the Stout Street stuff. It gets probably four or five times that amount.
You know, I think any individual finds a way to try to make a difference in the world. We have been blessed with certain traits to give back that not a lot of people can do, and so I think it's really important as a profession to do that. And everybody has to find their own way. This is how we've chosen to get involved with a variety of those kind of scenarios.
Yeah, it's definitely makes you feel good as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty neat. You know, we had talked earlier in the show about your dad being a dentist. You guys practiced together for a while. Is that correct?
Yes.
And now, is he still practicing with you, or is he finally turned it over to the young doc?
I joke that I kicked him out about 5 years ago, but that's not the case at all. You know, a lot of people will say that families shouldn't work together because it can be very polarizing or very kind of uniting. And it was wonderful to be able to work with my father. I mean, who better to have a vested interest in seeing you succeed and kind of mentor you along? You know, he really taught me the foundation of a lot of those principles that we've just discussed. You know, respecting others, doing what's right for the patient. I think if you do what's right for the patient, and I saw that time and time again with him, all the other stuff seems to fall into place. And I think if you start with that centric in mind, everything else happens. I joke that my father has somewhat cult rock star status in our office. Whenever he's in town and he comes in, he gets his teeth cleaned, and somebody finds out that he's it's very disruptive when he's in the practice because women are running after him, they're crying, they're giving him a hug. I mean, everybody is just, and I think that speaks to his character per se. When he retired, we actually threw him a little retirement party, and we were a little torn on who to invite. We didn't want to offend anybody, so we just invited the whole practice. And I kid you not, 350 people came to his retirement party that were patients. Patients. They weren't any of the other, you know, in the dental industry. They were patients. I mean, he had his, and I think that is just, I mean.
And you were expecting 100, right?
My budget was blown a little bit.
That's pretty cool.
It was
That's
cool.
really neat.
It was cool.
You know, Doug, as we sit here, Brett's the perfect person to be interviewed on our show, and you know why, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh.
That's because he has a face for radio.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a little bit about the implant procedures that you're involved with, because I think you have the opportunity to participate in a lot of implant therapy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, implants have been pretty revolutionary, I think, within the dental field. And really, we've been able to change the quality of life for a lot of patients. Implants can range from replacing a single tooth, obviously, to replacing all your teeth. And we don't have to get into all of the, and anywhere in between. Prior to the advent of implants, as you guys well know, I think dentist and dentistry was much more limited in some of the restorative processes that we could do to help patients. You know, the implant is oftentimes a two-step process where the specialist and you guys place the implant in the bone underneath the gum, and it literally integrates in the body. And you guys would be better to talk about the science of that than anything else. And then when the appropriate time comes, we can actually restore a tooth over that implant fixture. And, you know, not a day goes by where I am not seeing more than one patient that has one or multiple implants in their mouth. The last thing I'll say about that, and I think we're going to a break here soon, is that I find implants to be a really predictable long-term restoration for people's mouths, right? People have had crowns, and then they need a root canal, and then the root canal breaks, and to some degree, you don't have some of those issues with implants.
Yeah.
Let's try and come back to that after the break, Doug.
Yeah, we will. But we'll come back to that after the break. Again, this is Dr. Doug Heller along with Dr. Ken Versman, and we'll talk to Dr. Brett Levin when we get back on the other side.
I've got something I can laugh about. I feel good in a special way. I'm in love and it's a sunny day. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. It's been a hard day.
Parker Trailers, from entry-level trailers to flatbeds, cargo, and horse trailers, plus all your parts and service needs, now with two locations in Parker off Parker Road, and now open with the Pikes Peak International Speedway in Fountain. Visit ParkerTrailers.com for product information and details.
Limited time offer, 24-month commitment and credit qualification require. Cancellation fee, auto pay, and paperless billing and other restrictions apply.
If you can't see the difference, why pay the difference? Switch to Dish for the best deal in entertainment. Only Dish brings you the best in entertainment for less than $20 a month. Cut the cable and don't get directed. Switch to Dish because at just $19.99, Dish saves you every time you turn on the TV. It's so simple. The same channels cost less with Dish. So since you can't see the difference, don't pay the difference. Switch to Dish for the best deal in entertainment. Get premium movie channels free for 3 months, starting at just $19.99. Dish saves you every time you turn on the TV. Call now to save with Dish. Dial 1-800-943-9074. That's 1-800-943-9074. The same channels for less than $20 a month. Dish. Call 1-800-943-9074 for details.
This is Chuck. I recently purchased a new travel trailer found on TrailerBroker.com, and woo-wee, did I get me a deal. I shopped around a lot, didn't know much about trailers, but the kind folks there at TrailerBroker.com helped me find the perfect bunkhouse to meet my family's needs. Not to mention, they saved me thousands from what I was told was a special deal. Check out my friends at Trailer Broker today at TrailerBroker.com.
Hey there, I'm one of your potential customers, but I'm not going to be able to find you because when I type your name into a search engine, you're one of thousands upon thousands of businesses I see, all with great customer service. How am I going to find you? Instead, make your business stand out with Get Found Fast, using technology and marketing, getting your name out there, and getting people in your door. Get your name out there today at GetFoundFast.com.
Get found fast, get found fast, get found fast.com.
Get found
fast.
GetFoundFast.com.
There is no easy way to face criminal charges. The Frankfurt Law Office can help. With over 20 years of collective experience, the Frankfurt Law Office is capable of handling any legal situation. Contact them today for a free confidential consultation at 303-830-0090. That's 303-830-0090. Or visit them at frankfurtlawoffices.com. When the long arm of the law reaches out for you, fight back with the Frankfurt Law Office.
Is Velocity Radio.
Welcome back to Tooth Talk, where we talk about the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. I'm your host, Dr. Doug Heller, along with my co-host, Dr. Ken Versman, and we have our special guest tonight, Dr. Brett Levin. We were about to talk a little bit more about dental implants, Kenny, and you had some questions that Brett and I and you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, so I want to ask you some questions, Brett, that Doug and I know the answers to, but our listeners do not. And so if we could explore a little bit more about those dental implants. You mentioned that people could have one tooth replaced or all their teeth replaced with implants. So if someone was missing 20 teeth, do they need 20 implants?
That's a good question. No, they don't. And that's one of the really neat things about implants. It's not a one-to-one replacement yet with as little as four, I would say, between four and six implants per arch, in the bottom or the top, you can restore a full complement of teeth and really reestablish a natural chewing pattern. Obviously, it'll look wonderful, but you can restore quality of life that a lot of people have. There are a lot of patients out there that have some type of removable denture, removable partial denture, and it can impact their quality of life significantly. And to be able to transfer someone from something that is removable to something that's fixed is tremendous.
Do you ever see some of these people who walk into your office with their dentures in their purse or in their pocket because they can't keep them in their mouth?
Not any of the ones I make, but yes, they do come in. You know what they complain about more is not being able to eat, not being able to taste their food, not feeling comfortable about going out in public to a holiday party or a family event. And, you know, dentures, complete dentures, they're a solution for not having teeth, but they're not a replacement for teeth. Implants have really bridged that gap and become a replacement for teeth. And as closely, at least at this point, that we can mimic the biology of a natural tooth, implants do a very good job of that.
And how long would you expect the implants generally to last?
Well, you know, as you guys know, nothing is foolproof within dentistry, and there are always extenuating circumstances. Implants theoretically should last somebody, you know, the remainder of their life. That could be somebody who had an implant placed when they were in their 20s. As you guys know, having an implant placed in their 90s, and I've had multiple patients that have had implant in their 90s that have done implants.
Yeah. I always tell my patients that I think implants are probably one of the least costly long-term, dental things we can do.
I agree.
And I always say Absolutely. They have two obligations for that. One is they got to take care of it. They got to come in for regular cleanings mm-hmm. and maintenance. Mm-hmm. And two, they have to promise to live a long time. So, you know, that's the key, is because they are, they generally take care of them, they're generally pretty problem-free.
Here's another thing, and we've talked about this before, is that, you know, people have trauma to their front teeth, you know? And it used to be that if that happened, you would have to go through a lengthy process to get a front tooth restored. That would take a lot of time and keep you out of the public eye for a little bit of time. And working with skilled surgeons like yourselves, we can dramatically decrease the amount of time that takes. You can have someone come in and have an implant placed and put a fixed transitional restoration on that tooth if certain requirements are met during
fixed
that period of time.
Fixed meaning permanent.
Fixed meaning doesn't come out of your mouth. Doesn't mean it's the permanent restoration, but it means it's a fixed temporary for the amount of time that the implant needs to integrate.
Yeah, it's a great service.
It is great. It is great.
Do these patients who have these implants, do they need to come back into the practice for dental cleanings if they don't have any of their real teeth?
Yes. Yes.
How often generally do you recommend that?
Well, you know, we tailor... we call them recare appointments to the individual needs of a patient, hopefully harmonizing their demands and what we think will do a good job. I still think that we need to see an implant maintenance patient if they have no teeth, really at least once a year. if we deem that they are a higher risk patient because they have some other health issues, we'd want to see them twice a year. And we can service the implant restorations. We can clean them. We can make sure everything. Just because you have implants or you don't have teeth anymore doesn't mean you don't have to come to the dentist. You still got a, there's a lot of other things in your mouth that we need to be checking to make sure that everything is good.
So when your dental hygienists see patients in your practice with teeth or without teeth, and they're seeing patients just with implants, tell us a little bit about what your hygienists do during a typical appointment.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because one of the things that we have recently introduced is we have kind of a brochure that when you leave, like an assessment, letting you know what we've evaluated in your mouth, right? The hygienist's primary responsibility is obviously cleaning the teeth, evaluating the health of the tooth gum bone interface, and making sure that is healthy. The doctor then comes in and we do a thorough examination. We do an oral cancer screening. We check, you know, your tongue. We check the soft tissue. We look in the back of your throat to make sure there's no suspicious areas in your mouth. We check the function in your mouth. Again, we've talked about it. There are a lot of people that clench, that grinds. We haven't even talked about your bite necessarily. That's a whole nother subject for another time, that wear guards. We check all of that. And we check the health of the teeth. We talked earlier about a lot of people have large fillings in their mouth. And are those crumbling? Are they sensitive? Is there decay in all those areas? We often can become the pre-screener, because oftentimes patients are seeing us more frequently than they're seeing the physician. One of the things we also do at our practice is anytime we're going to numb you, we take your blood pressure. I'm not pretending to be a physician, but we have numerous patients identified somebody who had uncontrolled high blood pressure and recommended that they go see their physician. And they've come back to us and said, "You wouldn't believe where my blood pressure was, and you saved my life. If you hadn't told me to go see my physician and get me on blood pressure meds, who knows what would have happened?" And obviously the appropriate x-rays that we take to make sure that everything else is healthy. So the hygienists are, you know, they're really an integral part of our practice.
So the point is, a cleaning isn't a cleaning everywhere.
Correct. It's not.
I agree with you.
I will add one more thing. There are some patients that can come in every 6 months. There are some patients that, believe it or not, it's rare that we'll push that limit further every 9 months or a year, and you have to have, we're pretty stringent on that one. But at the other spectrum, there's patients that we need to see every 3 months because they accumulate calculus and tartar in their mouth a lot quicker, or their periodontal health is a little more compromised, and we need to make sure that we're staying on top of that. Bleedy gums, all those things can be a precursor to other health issues, and so we want to make sure we're staying on top of it.
Now, if I was a patient, Brett, and I was listening to the show, I'd sit here and think, man, maybe this is a place I ought to be. So are you still taking new patients?
We are always accepting new patients.
Okay, and if I was a new patient wanting to come see you, how would I go about doing that?
So you could call our office to make an appointment, and our office phone number is 303-333-2221. And for those of you who've been listening to the whole show, I don't know what my father did to get that number, but I will tell you, you will not forget that number.
That's pretty good.
You might get a cab to your house if you
would. I just forgot it. Would you repeat it again?
303-333-2221. You can also look at our website, and our website is www.levinfamilydental.com. Levin, L-E-V-I-N, family, at dental.com.
And how about your specific address?
Our address is 6825 East Tennessee Avenue, suite number 621. It's in central Denver, and our zip is 80224.
Isn't that sort of near Monaco and Isla?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're...
Spear.
It's Monaco and Leedsdale.
Leedsdale.
And the nice thing is you have pretty handy highway access coming from the south. You can get off I-25 at Hamden, and you can be at our office in 5 minutes. And, you know, you can come down Monaco from I-70 pretty quickly. So yeah. We're real centrally located.
Now, before we let you go, Brett, you know, in the beginning of the show, you said you're a general and cosmetic dental practice. You know, cosmetic dentistry, a little bit of a buzzword. Tell me what that really means.
It means a lot of things to a lot of different people. And one thing I can tell you with regard to our cosmetic dentistry is I certainly think we're very good at it, but we make sure and have a conversation with each patient to make sure that we're delivering what they want. That could be as simple as, for some patients, smoothing a little chip or doing a little cosmetic bonding on a front tooth. Bonding is putting some tooth-colored filling material and blending it in with your natural tooth. We do a lot of veneers. You know, those have a lot of, those are kind of like a fake fingernail that you put over your tooth. That can really look phenomenally natural. And then we can do some real comprehensive dentistry. I've had many patients come in and they've complained of a teeny little chip in their tooth. And as we do our thorough assessment, we realize that that little chip can't just be repaired again like it was, because your mouth has kind of adapted to a certain endpoint, and this is kind of the break point of it. And so we need to be a little more methodical about how we recreate
the
restorations.
It's kind of the tip of the iceberg.
It can be. Not always, but it can. It's not as simple as people think. Sometimes it is, and oftentimes it's not.
Well, you talked earlier about whitening.
Yes.
Will whitening, will bleaching of the teeth, will that hurt the teeth?
No. No, there's a lot of literature out there, and it will not hurt the teeth. And we recommend that if you are pregnant or breastfeeding, that it's just probably not a good idea to do that. But it won't really hurt your teeth if you follow the recommendations of your dentist.
So what would be the difference of the bleaching that's being done in your office versus some of the products that a patient could buy in the drugstore and do themselves?
Well, for one, the concentration, the strength of it is different. What we can deliver from our office it's more efficient at whitening your teeth. We can also, depending upon the delivery method, and what I mean by that is a lot of people come in and do an in-office whitening. You sit for about 2 hours, and actually people used to think that you had to shine a light on your teeth. And as like anything else, as technology has evolved, we now use a system that doesn't need the light. In fact, you can watch, we have Netflix, and you can like pick a movie and you know, zone out for 2 hours watching a movie. You can also make custom-made trays. We take an impression and of your mouth, and then fabricate a bleaching tray. It kind of looks like a clear retainer, if you will. That is specifically made for your mouth and can deliver the bleach in a more effective use.
And tell me those 4 months again when patients can come in and the bleaching that they have done, they can write a check.
Yes.
And get a tax deduction because that money is going to go to a charity. Tell
so
us again.
We do
that.
This every March through June. March, April, May, and June. Now, I will tell you that if you called and said, I want to do this, and we are full, right, what we would do is if you make the donation now or pay for it now, we would do it in July or August.
Wow.
It just needs to be done.
It's an awesome program. Yeah. I mean, when you guys told me about it, I was kind of blown away. I was actually a little jealous.
Yeah. Why didn't we think of that?
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, we could still do it, too. I mean, you know, more people, more dentists we could get doing it. Wouldn't that be
great?
That
would be great.
That would be great. I should take that.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And again, Brett, before we let you go, give us the phone number one more time, your website address.
Our website's www.levinfamilydental.com, and the phone number is 303-333-2221.
And still taking new patients.
What a great show, Doug.
Yeah, hey, Kenny. Hey, Brett, thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Thought it was a terrific show. Learned some things, and I know our listening audience did as well. I'm Dr. Doug Heller.
When's our next show, Doug?
Next show, I think, is June 4th.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting. I hope our listeners will tune in again.
Oh, yeah. I'll be listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks, everybody. We'll see you in the month of June.
Good night, all.